know, if I go to Burger King, if I get an order of onion rings, there's always a couple of French fries mixed in there with them. Always, but if I get the French fries, there's never any onion rings mixed in there. Are they in the same pile or aren't they? You know, sometimes you go to McDonald's or Burger King, sometimes the people that work there, they're sharp and around the ball. Other times you just gotta wonder, you know, you gotta wonder what that hiring interview was like. Please, come in, sit down. Can you mumble? Can you mumble without making eye contact? Would you be willing to goof around with your coworkers while the customer grows impatient? Great, I think you'd be a good candidate for our management training program. We're gonna have you watch an 8-minute training video, then we'll put you on the front counter. People get their own drinks now, you just gotta hand them a cup. But when you hand them a cup, make sure your fingers are sticking down inside the cup. That's our policy. And you just give them a bag of food and you're done. There's no need to say thank you because we wrote that on the trash box.
WRJN Radio, going to be a beautiful day today, sunny with a high near 65, showers and thunder bumpers tonight, lows around 50, and sunny again tomorrow with a high near 70. Right now, 46 and sunny, it's gorgeous out there. When you came in this morning, isn't that a beautiful morning, Jay?
They don't get more beautiful than this, Don.
I remember last time you were in here, many years ago, same hat. Was it a different hat or same hat?
It was a different hat, in fact. I've since upgraded my hat, increased the hat budget. I'm not too sure if Mrs. Christie was 100% on board with that, but I thought maybe this would be the last hat I ever buy, so why not?
Jungle J. Christie is here. He is the guy in charge. It's your place. It was probably a childhood dream of yours, I would imagine. Safari Lake Geneva, and it opens up tomorrow. It's Wisconsin's drive-through Animal Kingdom, where you can drive through and just enjoy, you know, nature like you've never seen it before. I mean, you can't see the, if you want to go to Africa, I guess, you can see these animals every day, probably walking down your street. But in this country, you can only see it in certain ways, and Safari Lake Geneva opens up tomorrow, huh?
Yes, it sure does, Don, and then we run for 6 months exactly. Every day, right up until October 31st.
Okay, so what is it? It's a drive-through. I know that, but why don't you give people a run-through of what it is?
Well, it's unique in this area, or at least, and in many ways, in this region, it wasn't an unfamiliar concept further or farther south. But what I've done is turn the whole zoo concept right on its head, allowing the animals to have the run of the place, roaming on significant acreage, and we put the people in cages, and those cages, of course, are their own vehicles. And so, as you said, they're able to observe animals in really natural conditions, much like an actual African safari, interacting with different species and roaming in herds.
Now, what kind of animals are there?
For the most part, it's grazing animals, and or hoofed animals, so those include animals like giraffes and bison, camels, alpacas. We've got some ostriches out there. Also got some water buffalo and some yak. And as curious as it is to people to see things like these little horses and camels and bison all roaming together on the hills of Walworth County, in fact, that was not an unusual sight up until about 10,000 years ago, because both camels and horses trace their ancestry to the North American continent. They evolved here millions of years ago and only died out within the last 10,000 years. And the bison, which barely held on, as we all know, we almost lost them 150 years ago, were the newcomers, really, because they came to us from Eurasia, crossing over the Bering land bridge there.
I went to Custer National Park out in South Dakota. We drove there with my wife. And I expected to see buffalo roaming everywhere. And way in the distance, we saw a buffalo. But I still think it was a cardboard cutout because I couldn't tell from the or the road I was on. I couldn't tell if there was I didn't see it moving. Because we went, it was Custer National Park. That's where they filmed Dances with Wolves. And there were buffalo everywhere in the movie, probably shipped in, or AI, or CGI. But my wife said, I don't know if that's real. It's not moving. Well, what do you want to do, charge us?
Right.
And knock us down. But, I love seeing that. And we were talking before we went on the air. I grew up in a town where we had our own zoo. It was a commercial zoo. It wasn't like the Racine Zoo. It was a commercial zoo. And it was owned by Frank Buck, who was the great African explorer. And he brought back animals from Africa. This is back the early 1900s, I guess, 1930s. Frank Buck. And they did a movie about him back in the 1930s called Bring Him Back Alive, where they, I found out later on, they filmed it on the back lots of Warner Brothers. But they used footage from the Tarzan movies to make it look, real. But he brought back these animals, Frank Buck. And I don't know how he did it, because I guess by ship you bring them back in the 1930s. You send them over. And he started this zoo in my hometown of Massapequa. Mm-hmm. And it was there for years and years and years until a family friend bought the zoo after he passed away, Frank Buck, I guess. But he brought back all these animals. So how do you get these animals here? I mean, first of all, let's start at the beginning. You were at the zoo. You were the CEO of the Racine Zoo. Mm-hmm. And was this a childhood dream to have your own, safari, Lake Geneva? Was that a dream?
That's 100% what it was, Don. I, when I was quite young, I had been interested in working in a zoo. But by the time I was 10 or 11, I really became fixated on this whole safari concept. So it was a dream come true. If you'd asked me 30 years ago, I don't know if I would have... Well, I'm pretty sure I would not have said it's going to be in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and probably wouldn't have even guessed it would be in Wisconsin. But after living here for some time, it became perfectly clear that this was absolutely the market that was ripe for something just like this.
And where'd you find the land for it? I mean, and did you have to get special zoning for the zoo? Well, it's not a zoo, it's a safari. Did you have to get special zoning?
The zoning did not change. However, we did need a conditional use permit, and it was not an easy road, I can say that. In fact, we were chased out of two other properties at least. The second time, with some lawyers. But I think it all worked out because I must have looked at close to 1,000 properties online and then must have walked on foot close to 60, largely in this area, and mostly in Walworth County, a few in Illinois. Only one in Racine County. But when I saw this one, I just fell in love with it. So it absolutely was the best property that I had come across. So it all worked out perfectly in the end.
Where is it?
It's just southeast of downtown Lake Geneva, less than a 10-minute drive. If you're familiar with that area, it's about halfway between Lake Geneva and Pell Lake.
I worked at a Lake Geneva radio station. I know some of the area there. But yeah, wow. Well, that's kind of neat. I went through a drive-through. And I'm trying to remember where it was, a drive-through safari. This is years ago. I forget what state it was in. And I remember it's scary at first to see, they come right up to your windows and they look at you. You don't know how to react. But it was wonderful to go through. Where the heck did I... Was that in the South?
Well, there were two in New Jersey. So that might check out based on where you grew up.
Yeah, my wife would know. Except I wasn't married to her when I lived in New York. And it was her. I'm going to make that clear now. I'm trying to remember. And now it's going to bother me. I'll have to call her and find out unless she wants to text me and tell me where it was. Anyway, so where do you get the animals from? Where do they come from?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Frank Buck and in the 1930s because many of the animals we have now can trace their...
Lineage
back to the 1930s, and in fact, I bet the vast majority of them had their ancestors on this continent by the 1960s at the latest, with very few exceptions. So they were imported en masse during the last century and have since reproduced and So are many, many generations removed from the wild in almost every case. Virtually all of them were born in the U.S. Many of them were born right here in the Midwest. So they're fairly well acclimated to our climate, curiously. And more specifically, I can say that there's no one origin story or no one source for animals like this. Some of them were born at zoos, like the Milwaukee County Zoo. Others were technically or could be termed rescues. And then still others were born on private farms.
And we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, but the care and feeding of animals is just, I mean, I had dogs all my life, so I know what a dog vet bill is like. Because when we take rescue dogs, a lot of those dogs came with problems because they were rescue dogs. Somebody didn't want to deal with them. So we took them. And I know hospital vet bills were very expensive. And I was telling you off the air, I had a parakeet. It took me almost a week to find a vet that would deal with a parakeet. I can't imagine where you find vets that have to deal with exotic animals. I mean, it's not, because they don't have too, if you're a vet that deals with giraffes, I mean, you can't have too many clients.
That's right.
I mean, you just have a select few. So where do you find the vets to deal with these animals?
Well, that was another tough nut to crack, because we knew that we wouldn't get a license to operate by the U.S. Department of Agriculture unless we did have a veterinarian of record. And of course, it had to be a large animal vet, so we were fortunate to find one in the form of the Elkhorn Veterinary Clinic.
Really?
Not too far.
That close by, yeah.
That's right.
Look at you, very lucky.
And in the rare instance that there's a case that may be even out of their wheelhouse, we've never been turned away from the veterinary college at the University of Madison, which of course has some of the best vets in the world.
And food. I mean, we were kind of joking around how you can't find giraffe chow at Petland, but you can't find monkey chow. That they do sell.
That's right.
Because I've seen that before. So the feeding of these animals, and you just don't, well, we're closed for the season. They got to eat year round. They can't just, you can close for the season and not feed them. I mean, somebody's got to be there. So actually, even though the drive-through may not be open year round, somebody's got to be there year round.
Every single day of the year, now that you mention it, Don, even on Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're not going to be here for Christmas and New Year's. No food for you. Hold on a second. Jay Christie is here. He owns and runs Safari Lake Geneva, which opens up tomorrow. We're going to tell you how you can get reservations for your car and your family to get in there. And you do sell out fast, because I see sometimes that you guys are sold out. He only allows so many in there. So we're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment here. WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station. If you have a question for our guest, 262-300-7445. WRJN Radio. A beautiful day today. A great day to have Jungle Jay Christie in here from Safari Lake Geneva, and he's wearing the hat. Last time you were in here, you were wearing the hat years and years ago when you were with Racine Zoo. Now, let's back up on your history. We have a question from a listener, but before we get to that, let's back up on your history here. Where did you start with animals? Where was your beginning? Obviously, did you have pets as a kid?
Yes, I sure did. All manner of pets.
Name some.
Fish of almost every description, including fish endemic to freshwater ecosystems and brackish water ecosystems and marine ecosystems, and some marine invertebrates like hermit crabs and things like that, both terrestrial hermit crabs and aquatic hermit crabs. All manner of reptiles, so turtles, lizards of various description, snakes, even a few crocodilians, specifically
crocodilians.
Caimans. The spectacled caiman and the dwarf caiman, both close relatives of the alligator coming from South America.
Crocodilians.
That's right.
Wow, I like that name.
Yeah.
You threw that at me. That woke me up. By the way, you mentioned turtles real quickly before I forget. I used to have those little tiny turtles. Mm-hmm. You used to be able to, by 99 cents, you go to Woolworths, you get the turtles and stuff, and you buy a little plastic bowl to put them in.
Right.
And you had a little plastic palm tree in there so the turtle can feel at home. My turtle, they wasn't from Hawaii. I don't know, Florida. I don't know why you'd feel at home. But I had that. And I had, for years, I had these turtles. Now you can't buy them anymore. They stopped because they said, oh, they carry disease. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm pretty old, and I lived with all those turtles and everything. And then we had a guy who did our floors at home, and he had turtles too, and he used to paint the shells. And I found out years later that's not a good thing to do because they breathe through the shells, but he used to paint them. And I just felt awful when I found that out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we had little turtles and so forth. So what else do you have? When did you get into the big stuff? The stuff that can actually attack if it wanted to.
That was at African Lion Safari. Doesn't get much more dangerous than that. And that was in the 90s. So that was my first job in a zoological setting. So it's really been a full circle that I'm coming back now to a safari setup. But after that, I worked at the Toronto Zoo and spent a little time at the San Antonio Zoo.
Tell me about the Toronto Zoo. What did you do there?
I was actually had the opportunity to work in every section. I was kind of a swing keeper, you could say. That was for a year between undergraduate and graduate school, but spent a lot of time training the camels. So that, again, was kind of full circle. And I've actually recently stumbled upon an old picture of me with those camels, so I'll put that on my Facebook page. But camels have always had a special place.
Well, right. I keep thinking of that commercial on TV. Mike. We just do the, you remember that commercial?
Oh, sure.
The camel comes in, Mike. Or there was another earlier one with candy bars. I want a Clark bar. With a camel. They were talking to the camel. He says, I want a Clark bar. But yeah, Mike. Okay, so you were at the Toronto Zoo. Then you go to what, San Antonio?
That's right.
So what did you do there?
You know, that was really more of an internship, as this was after I'd finished my MBA and I was looking for a job, so I wasn't there too long, and then I was hired to run a zoo in southern New Jersey.
Okay.
Down in Bridgeton, called the Cohansic Zoo.
So did you go to college? Did you take college courses in this?
One of the specialized community colleges that we see in California and Florida and elsewhere that are specific to zookeeping, no.
You know, everybody asks me, did you go to college for radio? No, I actually went for geology.
Oh, wow.
But my dream was to be an ice cream guy, a good humor man, or a stock car driver. Somehow I wound up in radio. So for 52 years, this is all I've done in my entire life. I've never done anything else. So, but you, this is all you've done, right?
That's right.
This is your entire life dealing with animals. Mm-hmm. That's got to be satisfying, knowing your dream, and you lived it your entire... Now, this is the pinnacle of your dream. This is it, actually running a safari.
That is true. I've been known to quote that I liked running a zoo, but I love owning one.
Did you ever see the movie Hatari with John Wayne?
Many times.
They were trying to lasso all these animals in Africa. And I remember the rhino coming out and tipping over the Jeep. They were smashing the Jeep. I mean, that, you know, those are big wild animals out in that John Wayne movie in Africa. You ever been to Africa?
Multiple times. In fact,
really?
I was there last month.
Really? Oh, that's right.
In the same country where Hatari was filmed, in fact. Tanzania, as they call it.
Do they call it that?
Yeah.
I guess we're mispronouncing it.
That's right.
When the locals say it, I guess that's the right way to do it. Oh, that's right. Was it a honeymoon or?
It was kind of a family honeymoon. Our actual honeymoon ended up being in Singapore and Malaysia.
Look at you, world traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I took mine. I'm just like Wyoming and South Dakota. I mean, I just would be afraid to go to those countries. I was overseas in Israel and also in the Netherlands, but that's when I was, you know, in my 20s. I don't know if I'd do it again.
Well, you know, Don, it's coincidental that you mentioned Frank Buck, because I don't think we would have gone there had it not been my interest in that TV show from the 1980s, Bring Him Back Alive, which, as you might recall, was set in Singapore. And that's how
Bruce Boxleitner starred in it. It was a CBS series called Bring Him Back Alive.
It was CBS.
And you can look it up on IMDb and check out the series. I don't know how long it lasted, but I remember the show because I used to watch it because Frank Buck was our zoo. And it was just interesting to see the guy who had our local zoo. I got to talk about how to make reservations. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes here. I don't want to interrupt it with a break coming up. So after you left the local zoos, you're still a young guy. Mm-hmm. What did you do in between the Racine Zoo and those? How'd you get to Racine?
I answered an ad in the Association of Zoos and Aquariums monthly magazine looking for a CEO. So that was in the late 90s. And I'd never set foot in the state of Wisconsin. But did so. This was in February, but of course it didn't faze me. I'd grown up in Ontario.
Oh, is that where you're from?
That's right.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And said, this place has some potential. And it turns out that I was right, because for 16 years we were able to do all manner of exciting initiatives, including helping save wildlife around the world and also doing a capital improvement between, six or seven figures every 3 years.
If you have a question for Jay Christie, text me, 262-300-7445. We have some questions. I will get to the answers, I promise. We'll ask Jay the questions. 262-300-7445. WRJN. For you, Jay, the Turtles.
I love it.
The Turtles. There aren't too many groups. We played earlier. I played the Animals, House of the Rising Sun.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we had the Animals. We probably could have got the Lion Sleeps Tonight. Not too many giraffe songs. I guess if you play the Lion King, you can.
True.
Hear some of that, but
we played Africa by Toto. It was the song that my wife walked down the aisle to.
And yes, Toto is named after the dog from The Wizard of Oz. They said that's where they got the name from. Everybody says, well, is it named after? Yeah, here, let's get some of these questions here, because Dave asked, the Racine Zoo used to have giant pythons in the main house growing up. Kids like the big reptiles. Any chance of Jay adding a big python to the safari property? Before you answer, my guess would be no, because it's a safari. The animals roam free. I guess you can't have too many pythons roaming free on the property.
True. We do have a fairly mature boa constrictor, actually. She's probably over 26 years old. Although she's not on display. We use her more for kind of educational outreach.
When I was in Florida, I took my parents. They lived in Florida, but they never did any tourist stuff. Went to a crocodile or alligator park, you know, where they have millions of alligators running around.
Sure.
As close as they let us to come to these, I mean, these things were hissing. They'd open their mouths, and they kept them well-fed, obviously. But you're still behind a fence, but they'd come, you know, roaming around, and they're one bite, and you're done. And they had these people out there feeding them by hand. You know, they had like a pole with the food on it. Oh, yeah. They'd snap at this stuff. I mean, animals are unpredictable. I mean, even if you have a dog can bite you as well. I mean, cats can scratch you. I mean, hamsters bit me, you know, all my life. Mm-hmm. So how do you deal with the animals? I mean, you just got to keep them well fed, obviously, so they don't get hungry at the at the visitors coming in. But talk about the food you serve the animals there, because it's got to be specialized.
Yes, it sure is, and there's no one source. Although there is a manufacturer here in the U.S., it's called Mazuri Brand Mazuri. It does have a diet for just about any zoo animal you can think of. We do have a special grain that's produced for us at a local mill, actually, and delivered in 50-pound bags. And we actually allow the customers to feed the animals, which in many ways is a more natural way for the animals to thrive, in that they're eating all day as these grazing-type animals would. They don't just eat once a day, as they might at a zoo or something, if you were to feed them, but get to feed really whenever they want throughout the hours that we're open every day.
And when you close for the night or close for the season, the feeding doesn't stop. I mean, you say, all right, guys, I'll catch you back in May 1st. We'll get the food back for you. I promise you, we'll feed you when we get back here. So you have a staff there 24/7, 365 days a year.
366 on a leap year.
That's right. This year was leap year. Even if no money's coming in through the safari because you closed down for the winter months, even though there's no money coming in, the money's going out.
No, that's true. In my experience, the vast majority of zoological institutions are only making money for about 5 months out of the year. So,
especially in this climate.
That's a good point.
Down south, they're open year-round.
You know. Yes, they sure are. Although this was a statistic I'd first heard from a zoo director in Tampa, actually. So there's even some seasonality in some of these southern locations. That's true, but... at any rate, we thought if we were going to be not making money for 6 months of the year, then why even be open? Was kind of our
like a drive-in movie theater.
That's right.
You're only open for a few months a year, and the rest of the time, they're paying taxes on the land. Now they don't have to have somebody at the drive-in movie theater watching the place, but it still needs upkeep. You can't let the projectors rot. You got to keep them moving all winter, because when you come in the spring, they won't work anymore. So a person I know who ran a drive-in, they said, we got to go there in the winter. These projectors can't just sit there all winter freezing cold. There's got to be heat in those buildings, because projectors, they're very expensive. Now they don't use projectors anymore, but when they did, they're very expensive. So it's like your place, you got to keep this place, you know. So where do you keep the animals? There's huge buildings?
It might be one of the most popular question we get, Don. Is
where do you keep them?
What happens in the winter? And every single one of them does have a shelter of some sort, and even the ones that wouldn't really require it, things like bison that, of course, are native to Wisconsin, and things like yak or Highland cattle or Bactrian camels, they do all have shelters. And a surprising number of African and Asian animals also can endure our winters with just an unheated shelter. We've gone one step above that, though, so some of these antelope and things like that do have heated shelters. And zebras, too, which is, of course, an iconic African animal. But it's interesting. We'll see them outside all day and even at night. It often surprises me in a cold snap. I'll look at my window and see these animals from India or Africa meandering about in the snow.
You let them out in the snow and everything, huh?
Yes, we sure do.
Got to get exercise.
That's right. So it is quite.
And they're not used to that. Well, these are animals that, you know, didn't grow up in Africa. Mm-hmm. But or did they? Some of them did?
None of them did.
Okay, none of them did. So when they see snow, like my dogs, when I used to let them outside in the snow, they used to burrow through it, roll in it. But, you know, when my mother used to bring her dog back from Florida when she came to visit, that dog never saw snow before.
Huh? Sure.
I mean, now you got to see, what is this out here? It's frozen stuff. Am I supposed to touch it or what am I supposed to do? Do you have names for these animals? Do they actually have names? Do you call them by their names?
Yes, virtually every single one of them does. And in my experience, if I haven't assigned a name to one within about 24 hours of it arriving, someone on staff will come up with a pretty good
name. Now, be honest now. I want an honest question. You ever go up to them and say, give me a kiss? Come on, give me a kiss.
You know, I don't know if I've ever said that exactly.
Jimmy, like your dog, you always say, come on, give me a kiss.
But it is surprising that there are some animals that would like nothing better than that, including some of the members of the camel family, like the camels themselves and some of the alpacas and some of the other animals that might have been bottle raised. So they're so habituated to people that they'll come right up and put their face in your face.
Here's my camel story. So we're broadcasting from the Milwaukee Zoo. It was during that thing they do in September or late August, I think they do the food thing, you know.
Zoo a la carte.
Yeah, Zoo a la carte. We're broadcasting from Zoo a la carte. And every radio station had its own area there where we used to, you know, where we broadcast from. So they put us near the camels. The problem was the camels spit, and they spit in a long distance. And we were getting hit, and I told the lady from the zoo, we can't be here. I mean, that every once in a while the camel and spit at us. So they had to move us away a little bit from this one particular cat. He didn't want us there for some reason. I don't know why. Didn't like we were playing music. Maybe the music was too loud. Maybe he didn't like the oldies we were playing. Who knows? But anyway, it was spitting at us. So that's my camel story. And while we're talking about camels, real quickly, humps. You got one, you got two humps, you got three, two lumps. Two humps, one hump. What's the difference?
Well, that's an excellent question. There are actually three species of true camels alive today. And that one's the Arabian camel, often called a dromedary in this country. Got the one hump. It's by far the most common camel in the world today. Probably 90% of the world's camels are these Arabian types. And I've seen them as far south as Kenya, northern Kenya, in Africa, but they range all the way west to the Atlantic and in the Sahara, and then throughout the Middle East, and as far east as India. And then there are also two species that have two humps. One's called the Bactrian camel, which we have at Safari Lake Geneva, that does have two humps, and it's been domesticated for thousands of years. Then the final one is called the wild camel. It also has two humps, but it's an endangered species, only found in China and Mongolia.
Let's talk about people visiting Safari Lake Geneva. And you say it's just 10 minutes from downtown Lake Geneva. Mm-hmm. You can find it. Just GPS it or look online. Are there rules about the car, what kind of cars you can bring in?
Yes, there are.
Okay, let's get to these rules.
Sure. We need to have doors on your vehicle. And that means you, Jeep owners. And I guess Bronco owners now, too.
Well, they have the flaps and they can take them off. Yeah, you don't want those.
That's right. Also, we need sides on your vehicle. And again, I'm talking to the Jeep owners. But you could have your sunroof open. But in other words, if you had a Jeep, the top could not be off. Although the sunroof panels could. And that's what really a fun experience is to have the kids out the top of the sunroof, just like an African safari. And beyond that, we do allow convertibles as long as the top is up.
Now, what about, you know, you want a car is emitting like bad oil fumes in the back.
True.
If your car is burning a lot of oil, don't bring it in. First of all, it's not good for humans or animals to breathe that stuff in. So, but is there a limit to how many people can be in the car?
No, there is not. There is a limit to how many cars per hour we allow through.
Okay, let's talk about that.
30 cars per hour in 8 different installments or shifts. People are sometimes confused because we have this timed entry. Do they have to be in and out within an hour? And they certainly do not.
Yeah, how long does it take to drive through?
Well, it might take, it's a little over an hour, it's a little over a mile, and we ask people not to drive faster than 2 miles per hour. So even if you didn't stop at all, you'd be in for over 30 minutes. But of course, people want to stop and take some pictures and feed the animals. So, you know what? I would say you want to budget at least 45 minutes each time through. And most people go through a second time. There's certainly no charge to go through as many times
as you want. Oh, really? You can just circle around, huh?
That's right. And it's probably worth mentioning with the timed entry that if someone is running late or coming early, but by all means, just come on over. We need people waiting on the road. And also, the ticket is good for the whole day. So if it's raining in the morning when you were supposed to come,
feel great.
Free to come in the afternoon.
So it's like car wash. It's good all day long.
That's right. Although it is open rain or shine.
Yeah. Now, I notice sometimes on the Facebook page, the animals are in for the day and you kind of close it down. Why would you bring the animals in? Did I ever see that on Facebook, or did I have a dream one day about that?
Well, it's quite likely that maybe the giraffes weren't visible.
That's it. That's what it was, yeah.
And that's the case if we have lightning or rain.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But otherwise, most of the other animals are real troopers about it. It's only if it's really coming down that they start to seek shelter.
Do they come right up to the car? Then could you feed them from your cars or no?
Yes, you sure can. You can feed the giraffes, but not from your car. That's a separate experience where you experience that on foot. But you are still allowed to drive in with the giraffes, which makes us one of only maybe half a dozen places in the country where you can actually drive your car
right
past
the giraffe. What do you bring in your car to feed them?
For most of the animals, it is the specialized grain. A primary ingredient's corn. For the giraffe experience, it's typically romaine lettuce or some kind of browse that we've cut from the local.
Oh, I love romaine lettuce. Oh. That's why I'm simpatico here. What? But if you can't bring food in from your house to feed the animals, right? Because it may be bad for them. No,
that's a possibility. It's actually not even legal per USDA.
Oh, really?
Regulations.
Like they don't want to give them Skittles or anything like that and make them sick.
Right.
All right. Jay Christie is here from Safari Lake Geneva. We're going to tell you how you can make reservations to bring your family there. We got the season opening up tomorrow. Got reservations already set up for tomorrow?
Yes, we sure do.
I know. You guys sell out sometimes. I know that. All right. So you might as well get these in now. It's 749 WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station at 1400 AM, 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM in Kenosha.
Thanks, Don.
You know where they got their name from, Three Dog Night? I'm going to tell you a little background on that, because I know, look on your face, so you don't know. Okay. Do you know?
I don't.
All right. I figure with that hat, you might know, because it's Australian. Back in Australia, the Aborigines, it was very cold at night. They used to sleep with a dog to keep them warm.
No.
And if they were really cold, they slept with two dogs. It was really ice cold. It was a Three Dog Night.
Amazing.
And that's where the name comes from, Three Dog Night. So you came here thinking you're not going to learn anything. You said, I know everything about animals.
Mm-hmm.
You just learned something.
I sure did. Thank you, Don.
You can take that back and do whatever you want with that knowledge. Okay, if people want to make reservations for this, Jay Christie, by the way, in case you're just tuning in, from Safari Lake Geneva. Is this the only drive-through animal kingdom in Wisconsin, as far as you know?
There actually are, since we opened, I guess imitation is the
sincerest most, form of flattery,
that's right?
Yeah.
So we've got, there are actually three now, including us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to open more, or is this just way too much to handle one?
You know, if I thought any of the kids would really had a fire in the belly desire to take these over, I might be able to be convinced to do that. But so far, I'm not too sure if that's going to happen.
This is a big. All right. So if people want to make, first of all, let's get your website. What's the website address?
It's SafariLakeGeneva.com.
Oh, look at you. Lucky to get that, huh? SafariLakeGeneva.com. Also on Facebook. That's where I follow you.
That's right. And Instagram.
And I never got onto Instagram. I was a Facebook guy. Old people go to Facebook, I was told.
That's true.
Young people. My daughter said, only old people go there. I said, you on Facebook? She goes, yeah, sadly enough, I am. So that makes her old. Okay, so SafariLakeGeneva.com or... just look on Facebook, Safari Lake Geneva. Once you put Safari in, it pops right up. So if people want to make a reservation, mm-hmm. how do they do it?
Go to SafariLakeGeneva.com. That's the only way to do it. And click on buy tickets. And it's just that simple. So choose the date when you think you'll be, well, when you know you'll be coming. And choose, you do give your best estimate for what time you think you're going to arrive. And again, if you're a little early or a little late, that's not going to be a problem. But we do give you a 1 hour window to aim for. And feel free to purchase some animal feed in advance. But you can always buy more when you get there, especially if you decide to loop through again and you've run out of feed. And it's probably worth mentioning that with valid photo ID, our military personnel, past and present, as well as first responders are entitled to one free bowl of animal feed for every person in their party.
Oh, wow.
That's a $5 value.
Look at you supporting American vets. Look at you.
It's the least we could do.
Yeah. So when you make the reservation, you get an approximate time you're going to be there, but you say you could be a little off on that. So are the times, what are the days, 7 days a week?
That's right.
And what are the times? Obviously, it's not nighttime, so.
That's right. We open at 9, and we close at 6, but the last admission is at 5 p.m.
Okay. Now, do you have private parties there? I mean, private groups want to come in and just take over the place for a day, or you don't do that?
Well, we do still.
Does everybody have a wedding there is what I'm trying to say.
I did, but that's the only wedding we've ever had there.
Tell me you put a bow tie on the giraffe's neck. Don't tell me you did that.
I rode in on a camel.
Okay. Oh, did you really?
But
look
there
at
were
you.
No
yeah.
Okay. Bow ties on any of the animals. We have had multiple proposals happen there, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Got down on one knee in front of the...
giraffes, usually.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Look at that. Mm-hmm. You have any babies born there?
Yes, in fact, we've had one born just 2 days ago. It was
really?
An alpaca.
Oh.
So every year we have multiple babies born.
Wow. And you mentioned licensing, so you're really strictly, well, it's like radio stations. I mean, we have the FCC keeping an eye on us 24/7, make sure we don't do anything cockeyed. So you have people actually monitoring what you do there, or how does that work?
That is right. We are subject to surprise inspections from the U.S. Department
really?
Of Agriculture. That's right.
That's like us.
Oh, yeah.
We get surprise inspections whenever they feel like it at the front door. I've been through two of them here where the FCC knocked on our front door, showed his badge, and he said, we're coming in.
Wow.
Luckily, we have nothing to hide. We don't. But anyway, they come in. You know, there's only two regulated, the government regulates only two industries in America, the U.S. government, radio stations and TV stations and nuclear power plants.
Amazing.
They're the only people that have to be licensed in this country by the government, radio, TV stations and nuclear power plants.
Mm. Okay.
Now, you have to have licensing through the state of Wisconsin, I assume, to own a business.
That is true.
Do you have a lot of university students want to come through, veterinary students who... want to learn a little bit? Do you like internships there?
Yes, we absolutely do. And this year, I would guess we'll have close to 10. And some of our first interns are now actually practicing vets themselves or working at zoos throughout the U.S.
Look at you, building tomorrow's veterinarians. Oh, that's great. Well, this has been terrific. Let's a quick review here. This is Safari Lake Geneva. Jay Christie started it. What year did you start this?
2016,
when you left the Racine Zoo.
That's right.
So you started this in 2016. It's just about 10 minutes from downtown. You can look up where the address is and get there. It's really easy to get to. And you can go to the website, make your reservations right there for your family. It's a great way to spend the summer day, a spring day, a fall day. When do you close for the season? What day?
October 31st.
All right, Halloween. So you go from May Day to Halloween. Very easy to remember. Go to the website, safarilakegeneva.com, safarilakegeneva.com. If you missed any part of this, this broadcast will be podcast around 10 o'clock this morning. It stays up forever. So if you say, gee, I only heard the tail end of it, I got to hear what Jungle Jay had to say. Go to our podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, WRJN.com, Civic Media, wherever you get your podcast, you can get this podcast around 10 o'clock this morning. Jungle Jay, thank you.
Thank you, Don.
I'm glad you wore the hat.
I don't leave home without it.
You look rugged. You look like a rugged safari. You look like a guy who, in the Atari. You look like that movie, the guy in the John Wayne movie. Thanks for joining us, Jay.
Anytime.
You're welcome back anytime you want to come back here. I'll catch you tomorrow morning. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here at WRJN Hometown Radio. Refresh.